I want to try to put this whole mystery of Passover and counting the Omer and Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and the anointing and all that in a context that maybe I don't think I've ever done before. The idea of the fundamental idea of Christianity and of Judaism is the oneness of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And without God being one, then we would have these wars, and it would always be the possibility of the need for the worship or loving some other God, depending on your particular alliances. But from the very beginning of time, when God created the earth, and God said, "The Spirit," let there be light. And then when the universe was created, then God was the Father in eternity. The Son was God in time and space. The Word made flesh, and this Holy Spirit is moving throughout all of time or space without regard to time, but he has only one function. And the function is one, but it's when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But he couldn't come while Jesus was still on earth let me go back even further. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness." So he had to be. He's now God in eternity, and all of a sudden he's God saying, "Let us." So who's he talking to? Well, because the creation is there, now there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He said, "Let us make man in our image." And the word image is tselem, as we've talked about so often. It means the glove is the image of the hand. It means the shadow, the shape, the form, but not the likeness. And from the very beginning, man had the capacity to transform his... He was born, he were created in innocence, i.e. without regard to the capacity to judge whether something was good or evil. And he was supposed to transform that innocence into holiness by the antagonism that the Holy Spirit would provide. We don't know how many things he succeeded at, but we know that he failed because he ate of the tree of the fruit of the good of the knowledge of good and evil. So when that happened, the separation occurred. That process could no longer happen in the way that it was originally intended. And so then he tried what we've been talking about. He tried man first in innocence, then with no restraints, and then with man's law, and then with, we went through the whole nine yards. And finally Jesus tried him again, giving him one last chance, and he breathed the Holy Spirit on him. Maybe there it would be one more chance. Now the purpose of Passover, the purpose of Pentecost, the purpose of the counting of the Omer is to now to cause the possibility to take place that this creation that was made in his image could now be transformed into his likeness by his own strength. So that's the purpose of the Son. So the Son then, by the Holy Spirit, on the Feast of Pentecost, could be shed on the flesh so that the likeness could come forth. The word likeness is duma. And it means exactly the same. Of the same nature, of the same type, of the same kind. And as long as you are concerned with you, there is no room for the Holy Spirit to form Christ in you. And the more there is of you and your concerns, then because of the humility of the process, he cannot occupy where you are. And so everything about, and we've studied accounting the armor. We can study that till hell freezes over. And we can study Passover till hell freezes over. And we can study everything else till hell freezes over. And there would be nothing that would happen because there's too much of you still holding on. We're not going to celebrate. Passover isn't going to happen. It has already been fulfilled. Pentecost isn't going to happen. It has already been complete. The counting of the Omer isn't going to happen. It's already been done. The only question is, have you seen the emptiness of your own existence after the flesh in order to be able to be exercised or humbled or totally available for the Holy Spirit to conform that mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory? Or are you still seeking after your own in some subtle way? So we have image in Adam, but we have likeness in Christ. We have the counting of the Omer so that you now are the vessel or the temple of that mystery. But the thing that fell can't be a part of the mystery. Your mind cannot be a part of it. Your mind can only keep going and pushing until the end, until you see your sin is as scarlet. That's the highest that your mind can take you. But there must needs be intellectual and integrity. There must be honesty within yourself to stop believing the lies of tomorrow or the creations of you or your mind of yesterday, so that you can honestly look at everything and say, there is no hope. I'm no longer trying to find the life in mine own hand. I'm no longer trying to find, because the best sparks that I could, the best ideas that I could have would just be sparks for me to walk in the light of my own fire. And that's vain, that's empty, that's fruitless. The whole idea of being worried about anything or concerned with anything, it's just asinine. It's just crazy. It just means it's just your idolatry coming to the fore. The whole idea of judging somebody and saying, "Are you redeemed?" is because they're concerned they're not redeemed. God is the God of the whole world, not of a little block. He didn't start being Lord of your life when you accepted Him, whatever the hell that means. But it's frustrating to see that you've made your God so small, and you've made you so big. We're going to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost next weekend. We're going to celebrate its finishedness. We're not going to try to do it. But the only way you can celebrate its finishedness is by you agreeing back with the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All is empty. All is fruitless. I have seen the travail that God has given to the sons of men to be humbled therein it, or emptied therein it. So what are you holding on to? What possible reason is there for you to go on these idiotic trips and be concerned and not at peace and not at joy? Where's the zeal to revenge the disobedience instead of going on these trips and judgments against other people?
I know what I'll do. I'll go somewhere else. Then I'll find truth.
Well, go.
Can hear you.
Does anybody have any response to this rant? Well, do you really understand what that amen means? That you never again have an excuse to be upset? You never again have an excuse to be concerned? You never have an excuse to be in anything other than perfect peace? That's what that amen means. How about amen again? Now we must begin to exhort one another daily while it is still called today. You ever wonder why it says that in Hebrews? It says it over and over. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today. What is the today it's being called? It's the last day. It's the night of the last day. And the dawn is breaking. The day star has arisen. But you're the ones that are continuing to create the darkness. This isn't negotiable. This isn't some little idea that I've made up. It's either totally true or I'm the nuttiest fuck on the face of the world. And you ought to kill me. But if it is true, you better start seeing it with some zeal. What? No, you know who I'm looking at.
When you said something about zeal, I was murmuring about loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And I thought a lot about that since yesterday. It all fits in right here. And I realize that that's not something I can perform or do. It's something that either is or it isn't. It's a fire that burns in me that is there, but it's not anything I can, you know, light it out, say, here's how it's done. It's either burning or it's not.
The only reason that zeal doesn't exist is because you've got something else to do. If you saw the finishness of this, there would be nothing but zeal. And so the sin is that I've got something else to do. If I've got something else to do, then I can justify my lack of peace. But if that's something that you have to do is something that's highly esteemed among men, you know that it's crap. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit, His only job is to form Christ. It was His job at the beginning when He moved on the face of the waters. It was His job when He moved and came upon, overshadowed Mary. It's His only job. Now, that is the only anointing. There's no other anointing. That's why it says, the anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you. The fullness is here. It always has been. It's only your remnant of Adam that is keeping you from understanding and seeing. It is only the concerns of the world that keeps you from fully apprehending it. And it's this thing. You don't have to worry about having some evangelistic plan or some... If you believe, you'll speak. You can't help it. Believe me, I tried not to speak. If you don't believe, then that's the problem. As little Miss Joy Santa used to say,
You only have one problem. You don't believe. That's the problem. And that's the problem. What must we do to do the work of God? Believe in Him we have sent. He didn't send you. He didn't send me. You can't live in two worlds anymore.
Let's go to John 16. What?
You reminded me of a phrase in the parable of the sower about the cares of the world choke the word and spring it up with great joy, but then the cares of the world, how am I going to do this, how am I going to do that? Just remind me of it.
John 16. We'll actually start in John 15. Verse 7. We just found the whole of 15 was about, I am the vine, you are the branches. Can't bear fruit unless you abide in Him. In verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. This isn't, oh, I'm going to have some candy. Give me some candy. Because if that's what you're asking for, you're not in His name. Oh, I want a new car. No, that you're not in His name. You're not in His nature. Oh, God, solve this problem with my kid. No, you're not in His nature. When He's done commending you, His disciple, then He will go and preach and teach in your world. But He must be done with you, His disciple. Don't blame concerns for loved ones as your lack of being a disciple. Everybody understand that clearly? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And the fruit isn't. What is the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. The only way you can keep His commandments is by abiding in Him. Never leaving that place, because you can't do squat. The moment your mind says you've got something to do, then you've left His commandments. And you've left Him. What?
There's something to do. You know, I've got a lot of things to do today. So, is the doing of those things mean I don't love God or I've left His commandments? Or?
Well, that's what you have to find out. No one else can tell you.
I don't think so. But I... You know, these words try and jerk me around and say, oh, I'm going to...
If you ever care about the results, then you've left His word. Whatsoever you do in thought, in word, in deed, do heartily as unto the Father. If you ever care about the results, then it means... Most people say, I'm doing this unto the Lord because I'm doing my best and I'm doing my Sunday best. No, that's not it. That means just you're doing it unto you. If you have with the slightest care or concern for what the results of what you're doing is, then it means that you're doing it unto you instead of doing it unto the Father. Whatsoever you do in thought, in word, in deed, do heartily as unto the God. And so the moment you have care, that means it's the Holy Spirit showing you. He's convicting you of the sin of self again. Is that clear?
Yeah, so... Essentially, we're not talking about the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of the Spirit. When He says it's finished, that only means things.
Everything is finished.
The Spirit. That means.
It's Rachel. I'm concerned about her. We need. Everybody says it's a hairball when she does that, but I don't think so. Let's forget the cat.
Anyway, that's the struggle of my mind to say, oh. It's finished, well, that means the world. My mind wants to split the kingdom.
I know.
I don't want to.
Good. There is no split.
There is no, I know there's no split, so I don't want to give breath to this.
Well, amen. But that's just the, that's the trick of Babylon. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. The even as is the key. It's because he has kept, so you shall keep. Your only concern is, am I in him, and is he in me? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you.
What are you reading from, Owen?
Huh?
Where are you?
11.
I'm now on verse 15. Jump. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And the only way your joy is full is if he is your identity, and his joy is remained. And there's, and the only remain means constant, never ending. No matter what the circumstances. No matter whether anybody says hello to you or not, because your joy doesn't come from here, it comes from eternity. That's why I've tried to get you every single time you're not in a state that is at peace and joy, that it's only, that's the signal that you've left his kingdom and returned to the kingdom of darkness. The only way out of it is repentance, but you can't repent until you've seen the end of that process. As long as you continue to give breath to the things of this world, that means, from the Holy Spirit's standpoint, that you have an idol in competition with God. And therefore, he cannot freely give you all things, because that would be him honoring idolatry. Can you capture that? So the first thing that has to happen is he has to destroy your idolatry. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they, what? Believe not on me. The evidence that you're believing not on him is your response to stimuli. That's why I've said from the beginning that once I can no longer put a trip on you, no one can. That's my job.
Oh, but you shouldn't pick on me. I'm such a poor little victim of circumstance.
Screw you. If you don't like it, leave. Go back to something comfortable where you'll be fed nice lukewarm milk. You lap it up.
What a great thing you said just a second ago about the audacity of man to think that God should honor their idolatry.
It can't happen.
It won't happen, but I've just realized how it happens all the time. We expect it to. That's the nature of man, is to think that.
What I think is what God wants. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The as is the important, because he's the one that's loving. But the only reason he loved was because there was never a second in which he didn't love the verb. He only gave breath to the Father. The fruit of giving breath to the Father is love one another. Not like your mind hears that word. But in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, who's doing but one thing. He's convicting the world of sin, because I believe not in him, on Jesus. Of righteousness, because he's gone to the Father, which is the definition of righteousness, the only definition, and of judgment, because the prince of the world has already been judged. Therefore, if you're judging anything in between, you're committing blasphemy. Is this Greek Or do you have anything? I mean,
my response is that when I used to hear you say this stuff, and I was always concerned about what is it that I needed to do to try and do that, and now it's like, okay, I don't feel that way now.
Because he is. It's as he is. But you can't live in two worlds. If you are, then you're only the blessing. The fact that it shows how much God loves you, because He makes you fail. The Holy Spirit has to move against you, because you're giving breath to something besides the Father. You're giving importance. You're loving something else besides the Father. He can't do anything other than cause you to fail rapidly. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's Gary's work or the magazine or anything else. If you're giving breath to the thing, then the thing has to fail. Nobody believes me. I had this talk with Brother Michael, Brother Carlson yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Anyway, I don't give a crap about Trinity Foundation. I don't care about investigations. I don't care about the magazine. I care about the manifestation of His life in His people. That other stuff is just what the particular vehicle that was put in front of us. I've been choking again.
Yes.
I caught Rachel's hairball. It's so simple. It really is. There's nothing complicated. John, what's going on?
It can't be simple.
Hear this again. I'm quoting Paul. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. So it is extremely simple. It's the simplest thing there is.
Do we work to avoid it? Is that why it doesn't happen more often?
Your mind cannot grasp the simplicity. And as long as you're giving breath to your mind, then you're not loving God with all your heart and soul and might. Because you're loving your mind more than God.
When people last night we went to their concert, you know, downtown, and I dropped everyone off. I was parking a car, and there was a guy sitting on the curb, long, straggly hair, beard, unkempt, disheveled, dirty, obviously. Gentlemen, and the police were rousting him up to move him on because this event was going on, and he was saying something like, "I've been here all day," you know, or pushing him away. It's reasonably important. I parked the car, I'm walking back. There in the spot where they rousted this gentleman is a guy who was probably the same age as the gentleman, with a neatly trimmed beard and his hair combed and sunglasses. And but the other guy was drinking out of a paper bag. This guy had his wine that he was drinking, you know, out of a glass. Thinking, what's, you know, it threw me.
But the reason that happened, is not for anything that you can sense, except to see what and how Jesus Christ sees us. He sees us as the one that was rousted. Until you can see yourself as that. Now, what do we do with that? Well, Jesus, we have nothing planned. I mean, you know, stop and think. What if Jesus is walking by? All he's always here. He's always. I mean, the only reason he healed anybody in the scriptures is so that he could be tested. So he had to know he had that power. so that the giving up of that power would be tested. He could have snapped his fingers and everyone in the universe would have been healed. But that wasn't was his ministry wasn't healing. It was to do the will of God. So everything had to be subjected to that will of God. And there's nothing done a priori. I've walked by many homeless people that, like you just described, but and many of them I've helped.
There's the irony of the situation.
There is no.
The past irony has come out upon just stupidity or blindness. I mean, why can't you talk about it being simple? That's pretty damn simple.
It is. But, and it always is.
But it still is wacky or goofy.
It's totally goofy, and it was just as goofy then. How many he healed a man blind from birth? There's probably 50,000 that he walked by he didn't heal. He did nothing after his own will. He trusted the moment completely. He had no agenda, no plan, except to do the will of the Father. And that must be ours. And that's the simplest thing there is. But the moment you have an idea of the way you think it should be, then all of a sudden, it has a form, and automatically, you will go breath or love that form more than you love God. Does that compute?
Yeah, it computes, but it doesn't relate to.
It doesn't make any sense according to our mind.
No.
It's not supposed to. Nothing that we do makes any sense according to our mind.
The only trouble we get in is when we try and process it and make it make sense. Then it becomes complicated.
Who's the we?
John and
other people.
Got a frog in
the mouth. Rachel.
No, please. Let nothing confuse you. Because remember, it was the serpent that beguiled Eve. Well, where is the serpent now? If you know the scriptures, you know the serpent is your mind. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity is nothing is above the will of the Father. And the knowledge of the next moment is not our business, because God isn't there. And the knowledge of the past isn't our business, because God isn't there. God is only in now. Okay?
I don't understand what it means that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
The only sin is you believe not on Him. And believe isn't like believing the light's on. Believe is 100% dependence on Him alone. The only righteousness, the only rightness in the universe has to be compared to that He went to the Father. That's the only rightness there is. The only judgment there is the prince of the world has already been judged. Those are the only two things that you can judge up or down. I mean, it's not even our business, but everything else has to be seen only through the context and the eyes of I must be about my Father's business. I must do the will of the Father. And that is only known in that instant. The moment you have an agenda, a plan, a purpose, anything other than abandonment, then you will automatically worship the thing that you haven't abandoned. And it could be your children, your family, your idea, your magazine,
your search for an agenda.
Your search for an agenda.
Your brisket, the building.
Whatever. your shoes. You'd been better off keeping quiet. Does anybody at least get a little understanding of this grand simplicity?
This is written to the disciples as a group, and a lot of these difficulties can be handled together.
Amen. That's exactly true. I hate that. More than anything else, I hate that.
It can't be done in the dark.
It can't be done alone.
It can't be done in the dark.
It can't be done in the dark or in the dark.
Dark, door, you name it.
Any additions?
Well, I was just thinking that you touched on this about the intellectual honesty. You can't say, okay, I'm not giving breath to any of these things and still longing after whatever. I mean, it doesn't work. You'd be better off just to go do whatever it is you want to do. And
do it with everything in you.
Full speed, you know.
Be either hot or cold.
Then, you know, continuing to just be in this, you know, morass of lukewarmness.
Miasma.
I don't want to risk. You've got to risk one way or the other. Risking.
It's the fog of being just a little bit drunk.
Still under control.
All righty. As I'm sure somebody's done it. I don't even have to think about this stuff anymore, but have we worked out the menu and everything for up there?
I know Judy's on the case.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Okay. Take it, big guy.